The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
This is Amanda LaPlante, and you're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. And we're trying something new on the show today. With me today is my wonderful and amazing assistant, Carly Pass. And say hi, Carly.
Hi. Hi, Amanda. Thank you for having me today.
And thank you for filling in today. So, you know, normally I've had so many amazing professionals on here with me on the show. And I really have never just done a show by myself. And I thought, well, it might be interesting to, you know, one of my goals for this year, I think everyone should set big goals, right, for the year. And when I was looking at the year ahead, one of the goals that I had was to, you know, last year I wanted to build my network. I wanted to reach lots of people, touch lots of lives, and really build my friendships and my community. And I did that. And this year, one of the things that I want to do, in addition to continuing that wonderful momentum that I had from last year, is really find my own voice. And, you know, I spend a lot of time really finding ways to lift up and encourage others, and that just motivates me and fuels my heart and soul. And sometimes I give myself a back seat to that. Mm-hmm. So I'm learning to find my own voice as well, not just bringing out the brilliance in others, but, you know, I want to start really finding myself. So in the process of that, Carly has been dragged along.
I'm here to help, but I'm very excited that Amanda is going to be focusing more on herself this episode, because I'm lucky enough to have gotten to know her these past few months, and she's unbelievable, and she has so much information and just knowledge to share. So I'm excited for this episode to be more about her.
Oh, I love you. That's so amazing. All right. So before we jump in, I want to give a shout out to AFC Urgent Care. I'm so thankful to them for sponsoring this show, and the support that they give to the station and to Get Real to Heal is just amazing. So one of the things that I want to talk about is, you know, if you think you might have the flu, right? A lot of times people are like, okay, is it a flu? Is it just a cold? AFC Urgent Care wants to remind you that cold symptoms usually include a sore throat, runny nose, sneezing, and coughing, whereas flu symptoms are more severe. They set in more suddenly, and they include fever, chills, muscle and joint aches. Lots of icky symptoms, right? So when you need to see a physician without an appointment or after traditional physician office hours end, you can visit AFC Urgent Care across from Brentwood City Hall on South Brentwood Boulevard, and they can help you out. And you can go to afcurgentcare.com/Brentwood to find out more information about their physicians on staff and all the services that they offer there. So,
awesome.
Yeah, big thank you to them. All right, Carly, where do we begin?
Where to begin?
So, I am an integrative health coach. I also have a passion for radio. I interned in radio 20 years ago, and as luck or God, whatever you want to call it, I believe it's a universe God thing, would have it, when I finished health coaching school a few years ago, I had gone back to school to study health coaching after a personal health journey that, if you're a regular listener, you're familiar with. And I went to this Chamber of Commerce luncheon. It was the very first one I had gone to, first networking thing that I had done after getting my health coaching certification. And I happened to sit down at the same table as the woman who was opening 92.9 FM, right as they were looking for some programming. So it was just one of those things, like, what are the chances? And here I am. And it's been such an amazing journey to have this show and grow the network and feature so many amazing people. Yeah.
Personally, I believe there's no such thing as a coincidence. So it's a little too perfect that she was sitting there. It's
yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, for sure. So, yeah. So here I am. So I am an integrative health coach. What does that mean? So, you know, a lot of times doctors, you know, a lot of doctors aren't trained in nutrition. So I do have some background in training in nutrition through the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. But I've also got training in how to coach people around practical lifestyles and situations, basically to figure out the right diet and lifestyle that's going to be right for them. So I don't diagnose, treat, or prescribe in that way. I just kind of gently guide them and help them to figure out what's going to work for them. Kind of a guide on the side, or a mentor, if you will. So that's kind of what I'm all about. So it's interesting because I get lots of different types of clients that come into me. You know, sometimes they just want to lose that few pesky pounds. Sometimes they're having issues with sleep and just some irritability, just, you know, things being out of balance, basically, is what that comes down to. And then sometimes they get cases where they've been sick for 20 some odd years and really have been to lots of different types of doctors, different practitioners, and they're just looking for someone to give a different perspective. And they know how complex and odd my medical journey has been from hearing me speak or hearing the show, something like that. And I love those cases too, because we really get to do some detective work. And I kind of look at myself as a health detective. You know, I'll dig in on, you know, different research, PubMed.gov, whatever I have to do, just kind of dig in and try to figure out, you know, what's missing. And also intuitively, just being able to sit down across from someone and listen and ask lots of good probing questions to help them to figure out what it is that they might have missed, that doctors might have missed. And then be able to give them some additional direction. And that can be healing in and of itself.
Oh, yeah. Just knowing that you always say your body's not betraying you.
That's really what's important. And that's what I've learned on my own journey. There was a time when, you know, everything was going wrong and all the different autoimmune diseases and the mental health challenges that I was having. And, you know, it all came down to chronic inflammation, things that I was eating that weren't working for my body, lifestyle choices that weren't working for me, things being out of balance, me not really knowing myself and not having dealt with traumas in the past. There were so many different layers to my story that it's hard to really pin down. So when people are like, oh, well, come and tell your story. Okay, well, where do we start? And so I'm actually working on a book, which I think is that's going to be fun. That'll be out sometime within the year. To really dive in on that. But yeah, it's just... It's been such an amazing and complex process.
Yes, yes. And that's the hard thing. I know when I first met you, it was more what foods shouldn't I eat and which ones should I eat? But you've really taught me that it's all about noticing how your body feels after you eat that food, because we're all so different. So that's been a huge lesson for me, is just that mindfulness.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today. You know, I wanted to talk about cravings because it just comes up so much. Now, you were saying before we hopped on air that you were having some cravings today.
Oh, yeah. Big cravings. Always.
So, like, what have you been craving?
Pizza.
Pizza?
Pizza. Cheese.
Oh, boy. Cheese. Ah.
I can't eat cheese.
Okay. So, you're dairy-free.
I'm dairy-free.
Okay. Well, you know, that's maybe not a bad thing. So, dairy is interesting because, you know, we're the only animals that drink milk from another species and into adulthood. And if we think about that, that maybe doesn't make a lot of sense.
Not at all, when you put it like that.
Yeah. So, you know, cheese, there are a lot of reasons that dairy may not be working for people. Mm-hmm. So it's always interesting. I tell a lot of people, just, you know, anyone I work with, I say, pull it out for a few weeks. Notice how you feel. Put it back in. Like, really put it back in. Now, you've got to pull it out for about 4 weeks, really, to get everything in the body to flush out, right? Get all that ick out of there. And then when you put it back in, just notice how you feel. You know, do your sinuses fill up? Are you feeling just kind of sluggish? And, you know, is your skin breaking out? I know for me, when I eat it, it's like instant acne. It's terrible.
Yeah,
it's like the
same.
Worst. Yeah. Is your stomach upset? Are your joints achy? There's lots of different things that could happen when you put that back in. But so just noticing that, and keep a food journal so that you can really be conscious of it.
That's very helpful.
Yeah.
The food journal. Definitely. Because you forget what you eat. Totally. It's like last night, I couldn't even really tell you what went in this body.
That's so true though, right? I mean,
yeah.
we do it mindlessly.
Yeah.
Really. We just eat because we're eating.
A habit, kind of.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so we're on autopilot. And by, you know, keeping something like a food journal, it's a really simple way to just get back in touch with what you're really putting in your body.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome advice.
Absolutely. So, all right. Causes of cravings. So I've got a little sheet that I hand out to people, and it's called the 8 causes of cravings. So what I love about this is it sets it all up. It says the body is amazing. It knows when to go to sleep, when to wake up, when to go to the bathroom. It maintains a temperature of 98.6 degrees, repairs itself when wounded, and knows the miracle of pregnancy and childbirth for some of us. So you never miss a heartbeat. Your lungs are always breathing, and the body is a supercomputer. It just doesn't make mistakes, right? That's the idea. So if something is off, right, we can look at the foods, the deficits, the behaviors in life that are underlying the causes of cravings. So a lot of people view cravings as weakness, but really, cravings are important messages that something is out of balance. So we want to break that down and kind of deconstruct it. So what does your body want and why? Get curious about why you're craving something. So for you, pizza, what does pizza remind you of?
Oh, comfort.
Okay, yeah. Comfort.
Relaxation. All right. I think of like the end of the workday, just hanging out, no stress. So that's interesting, actually, what it represents.
I had a craving a while back. I was feeling, it was actually when I started the show, and I was putting myself out there and just really scared that it wasn't going to be received well. Nobody was going to want to listen to me, watch me, whatever. And by the way, changing those words in your mind, right? Not nobody. Not everybody is what I've changed it to. Not everybody is going to want to watch or listen to me, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was really feeling insecure, and I started having these cravings around that time for bread with big chunks of butter on it. Really weird craving for me because I don't really eat bread. It's just not a thing that I do anymore since I've gone down my health journey. It doesn't make me feel good and really not great for most people, right? Mm-hmm. And then big chunks of butter. I mean, where was that coming from?
Yeah.
And so I was, and I mean, I'm talking the kind where like you bite into it and you can see the teeth marks in the butter, that much butter. I mean, just ridiculous, like pads of butter.
It's a great visual.
Yeah. So it's so cold and creamy. It's really, now that I think about it, it's delightful, but we're just going to erase that. Okay, so taking a bite of this stuff, right, and thinking, what in the world? Well, I ended up talking to a counselor that I work with, and she was like, you know, well, what does it represent to you? Which, here's the funny thing. Health coaches need coaches too.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, I can talk about this all day long with people I know the questions to ask, but then turning it inward and asking myself is a constant exercise, right?
Yeah.
And being mentally, aware to do that. And I thought about it, and I realized that it reminded me of my grandma's house. When I was a kid, you know, when things were, hey, Mandy, sorry, we're integrating with Facebook today. And so I'm going to be shouting out some people. And by the way, taking questions. So if you are listening, you can go to facebook.com/getrealtoheal or come over to my Facebook page, facebook.com/AKLaPlante, or check us out on Instagram @getrealtoheal and put your questions up there because I'm going to answer questions at the end of this episode. So it reminded me of my grandma's house. And anytime that I was getting bullied at school, or, you know, feeling like a nerd, or all of the other negative self-talk started happening, right, when I was at grandma's, she'd say, oh, no worries, just come on. And she'd make me some bread with butter on it.
Wow.
And so here I was putting myself out into the world on radio and feeling really insecure about that. And I started having this craving. So a lot of times there's something like that from your past that's driving your craving in the present.
It's very interesting, kind of like a coping mechanism.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Food can be comfort. Another thing that people should look into is we have this concept called primary food. So what that means, right? Secondary food would be kind of the food that you put in your mouth, right? The stuff that we eat. But primary food, the concept would be any other thing that nourishes you. So it could be your career, your spirituality, exercise, whatever it is that fills you up on a soul level.
Okay.
So if your primary food's out of balance, you know, if you're stressed or bored or uninspired by your job or you're lacking a spiritual practice or whatever it is for you, you might be driving some cravings, right? You might be trying to fill that void with food. I think sweet cravings are a big red flag of that because it's like, you know, when sweetness is lacking in life, we'll look for it in other ways.
Yeah.
Right?
So true.
So just thinking about those types of things can really help you to tap into, you know, what you could be doing a little bit differently or better to manage those cravings in your life. Water is an interesting one. A lot of people will, you know, we say the body doesn't make mistakes, and it doesn't, but sometimes we can get our wires crossed a little bit. You know, you might be really, really thirsty and dehydrated, and that could be coming across as a hunger signal.
Oh.
And so you eat thinking that that's what you need, but really, if you just stopped and had a glass of water first, you may not even be hungry.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, have you ever tried that?
I haven't.
Okay.
But I'm going to now.
Now that you know.
Yeah, I need to be taking notes during this.
The more you know. All right. So that's another thing. This one is really interesting on the sheet. All right, so yin and yang imbalance.
Okay.
That sounds really complex and fancy, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Okay. So certain foods have more yin qualities or expansive qualities, while other foods have more yang qualities or contractive qualities. Eating certain foods that are either extremely yin or extremely yang can cause cravings in order to maintain balance. So, for example, eating a diet that is too rich in sugar, which is yin or expansive,
okay,
may cause a craving for meat, which is very yang or contractive, right? So, and eating too many raw foods, which are very yin and expansive, may cause cravings for extremely cooked or dehydrated foods and vice versa.
That's very interesting. I've never heard of that.
It's a little obtuse. It's a little. But, you know, if we start thinking about it, so, you know, those sugary, expansive, those yin foods mm-hmm. are available to us in a time of year. Typically, they're in warmer climates or warmer seasons, right?
Yes.
When you are more outgoing, your energy is more outward. You're spending more time outside. You're more social. You're doing more. You're physically more active. So it kind of makes sense. It all goes together. Whereas yang, contractive, right? So you're talking about winter, meats, root veggies, grounding things, right?
Wow.
Very warm, lots of cooked stuff, you know? Mm. So it's kind of interesting how you learn to play with that balance.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah.
So
I love that.
Yeah.
One of the things I love about your coaching is that, and like just speaking of this, is that it takes into account all of those lifestyle factors. And just even in that sense, it's not just food. It's considering what time of year is it grown? What does that do inside? It's everything.
Yeah, and we could do a whole episode on seasonal eating. It's really important because the food that you're taking in, you know, it's grown in certain temperatures and certain light spectrums, right?
Wow.
Certain times of year.
Yeah.
So if you think about that, there's all these different factors in nature that cause that food to be able to grow. And our bodies, you know, until just a few decades ago, really, we haven't had the availability of foods from all around the world. I'm getting a little bit confused by that, right? You know, because food is information for our biocomputer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think seasonal eating can't be overstated. I think that's really important. It can be hard to do sometimes because we see those yummy strawberries in January and we're like, yes, please.
Yeah. It's not natural, but give me the strawberries.
This is so unnatural, but delicious.
Yeah.
So, you know, just being more aware of that. And, by the way, going back to that yin and yang thing, you know, a lot of times I'll have very, very yang cravings after I do this show because it's a very outward, very yin kind of thing, right? I'm putting myself out there. I'm interacting with people. I'm, you know, so some people have jobs where I've seen people have, you know, for instance, somebody started working at home when she had been out and interacting with the public in a large way. And then she went to working at home by herself and her cravings shifted.
Wow.
It's so interesting because it's not just within the food, it's within our life, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, really thinking about that can be very helpful.
Yes. It's a new perspective I haven't thought of.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. So there's lots more of these. But, yeah, you know, talking about seasonal, like certain foods you might crave in certain seasons, again, for that balance. Or, you know, you might crave certain things at certain times of years, right? So, like eggnog, Christmas is a big one for me. I found healthier versions of eggnog, by the way. We'll talk later. Shoot me a text. Drop me an email.
Do tell.
Anyway, which, by the way, for anyone that's curious about my coaching services or just has a question, needs support, would like a referral, whatever it is, 314-583-6749 is my phone number. I am always available to you. And you can also pop me an email at amanda@amandalaplante.com or go on and hit the contact page on amandalaplante.com anytime. Carly's actually, you're working on a new website,
yes,
too.
Yes, I am.
So exciting.
Very exciting.
So exciting. All right. And then, of course, one more thing to hit on with regard to cravings is lack of nutrients.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like if your body is deficient in certain nutrients, you might have certain cravings to counteract that, right?
Yeah,
like it's going to send you the signal.
Yeah.
Right. So if the body has inadequate nutrients, you might have, you know, like if you're inadequate mineral levels, you might have some salt cravings, right? So by the way, if you're using processed like salt, table salt, don't do that. Stop that. So use something like just a natural like Celtic sea salt or Himalayan pink salt. Himalayan pink salt's probably my favorite. It's got a really nice mild, but really like it's a really good flavor. And there's, I think, something like 84 different minerals that are found in Himalayan pink salt. It's not just the salt molecule. And if you think about it, when you strip it down to that table salt level, where it's just that one little molecule that just gives the salty flavor and you're losing all those other wonderful minerals that could be coming with it, you know, you can create some imbalance with that. You always want to eat the food in the whole form because there's cofactors that come along with any nutrient that you're trying to take in. And if your body isn't getting them from eating that whole source of the food, then it will strip it from other places to be able to assimilate and use that nutrient.
Wow.
Crazy,
mind
right?
Blown.
Mind blowing.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's really important. That's why we talk about whole foods. Like, that's what's important. You know, for instance, when you eat an apple, you know, you're not just getting vitamin C. There's like 10,000 phytochemicals in an apple. Well, nutrients, minerals, all kinds, you know, whatever. There's lots and lots of good stuff in there. Not just that one thing.
You can't just strip out
you
the one ingredient.
You can't do that. And we can't do that with salt either. You know, it's just not a good idea. I think there's an expression that I love. It's, let's see. There are three powders that will kill you. Three white powders that'll kill you. So, sugar, flour, and cocaine. I would make that four and add processed salt. Mm. I'd probably go ahead and make that four. But yeah.
I like that. I'll remember it.
Anytime that we're stripping something down to that base molecule and taking that in, it's going to cause imbalance in the body. Okay. So just don't do it. Processed stuff, yuck.
Whole foods.
Whole foods.
Whole foods.
Eat the whole thing. All right. Oh, and then of course, there's a few more on this list. For sake of time, I'm going to digress on them. But de-evolution. I'm going to just throw that out there. Sometimes when things are going really well in life, we just want to de-evolve, right? We self-sabotage.
Yes, so true.
And that's where it gets into, again, like digging into your why, like really getting into, really getting into why you're doing this, why you're eating the food that you're eating. My mindset on anything that I eat nowadays is related to being able to fuel me forward in the world. I have a big purpose and a big mission. I want to help a lot of people get well and recover from autoimmunity. I want to see that gone. You know, our bodies should not be fighting themselves, and we need to get a handle on that in our society. It's just rampant.
Yeah.
And I know because I've lived it. It sucks. And then mental illness. I want to see mental illness just eradicated. I lived with ADD, ADHD, depression, anxiety, all of these things for years. There's no way I could have sat here without being on multiple levels of medication to do a show like this. And honestly, probably couldn't have overcome the nerves to really get through it. And now here I sit unmedicated with that. And it's mind blowing. I want to see everyone get to live that kind of life. And I don't think turning to a pill is the answer. It's just not, so really tapping into your why, really looking at, you know, when you're eating, are you fueling yourself? Do you know why you're here? And that's why a lot of health coaching is also life coaching.
Yeah.
It really goes hand in hand. So I do a lot of life coaching in my practice because looking for the motivation, you know, the reason that we're doing things we're doing is so important.
So important is getting back to that root cause instead of just putting the Band-Aid of medication on it.
Right. Yeah. And food is medicine. It can be the safest and most effective form of medicine, or it can be the slowest form of poison. Mm-hmm. I think that's a quote from Ann Wigmore. So just to put that out there, that's not my original thought, but it's one that I live by.
Yeah, it's a very good thought.
No.
Very good.
Carly, I love you. All right. So that's some thoughts. How are we doing? We got 3 minutes left, guys. All right. Let's see if we've got any questions here. Do we have any questions? We've got lots of hellos. Hello, Jeanette. Hello, Mandy.
Hey, Jeanette.
Hello, lots of... Hey, Adam. Hey, Amy. Lots of people chiming in. So again, facebook.com/getrealtoheal, facebook.com/AKLaPlante. And you can also pop on @getrealtoheal on Instagram anytime. I really want to start being more active on the show, answering questions. So if there are guests that you'd like to see on the show, topics that you'd like us to cover, if there's... whatever, if you want to see me tap dance on the desk before, I don't know what. Anyway, whatever it is, no, I'm interested in what you have to say, what you need, what's going to help you on your health journey. Probably not me tap dancing, but whatever it is, I really want people to start reaching out and let's start a conversation here as we move forward in this year of finding voice.
I think that's awesome. Here, answer some questions. Yeah,
good things. Another thing I want to touch on is for cravings. One more little tip for you guys for today. Mindfully eating, right? So mindfulness is a practice we hear a lot about, right? And a lot of people are like, oh, it must be attached. I don't have any religious attachment to any of the meditation, mindfulness, anything that I do. I do it because the science backs it up and it works. So mindful eating is basically, you know, a lot of times we're sitting there, we're in front of the TV or whatever, and we're just eating, or we're driving and eating. whatever. Just sitting down and being present with your food, and the process of digestion begins with your eyes and your nose, right? Your senses. You know, that's what starts the mouth watering, starts the juices flowing in the stomach. Everything's kind of kicks on when you take time to be present with your meal in the first place. And then really noticing all of the sensations, all of the things about the meal as you take a bite. You know, notice as you're chewing it, notice that your tongue knows exactly what to do every time. It's kind of amazing how our body works and just knows what to do. You know, as we put the food up to our mouth, we start chewing it, the tongue starts moving it around, right? And notice the texture changing as you chew it. It changes, the flavor changes and starts to dissipate. And then as you swallow, you know, notice as it moves to the back of your mouth and as it starts to go all the way down your throat and into your stomach, actually notice that sensation. So many people have never even done that.
It's crazy.
Do you ever think about
never,
that?
Never, no. And I think of mindfulness as an everyday life practices, but never with my food. So that's a totally new concept to me.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, your digestive processes really don't, they turn on in with your parasympathetic nervous system activated.
Okay.
That's your rest and digest system.
Oh.
And you just, you got to take the time to do it. So I hope these tips were helpful for you today. We're down to just a couple seconds. Thanks again, Carly Pass, for sitting in.
Thank you, Amanda. You're the best.
I love you. All right. And for more information from me or to reach out, amandalaplante.com anytime or find me online. And go make it a great day. I love you.